this rover.
The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith, with Ronnie Howard, also starring Don Knotts.
We don't have any TV shows anymore that have openings like that.
No.
There used to be a whole bunch. It's the Dick Van Dyke Show. Sorry. And then Mary Tyler Moore. I mean,
right.
That used to be a pretty standard introduction. And now, none of that. Of course, there are a lot of things that aren't the way they used to be. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. Good afternoon, everybody. And welcome aboard. We're glad to have you with us. In Kirkwood, Missouri right now, it's actually pretty bright and blue, but I drove through dark. I think it was just patchy. Let's turn to Tim Woodburn, head of research and newsman who did the weather. It's just kind of spotty and patchy and in and out, right?
Well, there's a big cell that's moving under downtown St. Louis. The northern tip of it's kind of got kind of hit where we are and then downtown St. Louis, but it's well to the south, so South County and then down past that in the Oakville area. That's what's really going to get drenched. And there's another small one that's moving through Wentzville that's coming right down the I-70 corridor, so that'll go kind of north of downtown. So it kind of split the downtown kind of split the uprights.
Ladies and gentlemen, I watched this. He said that he did not read one word.
That was right off the top of his head from memory.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. Like Dave Murray.
Practically a meteorologist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we welcome you. We're glad you're here. This is when you relax, maybe laugh a couple of times, no stress, no arguing if we can help it. No real politics. I do have, though, a really funny joke, and I'm going to tell it as a bonus joke. It is somewhat political, I guess, but so what? If you don't like it and you think it's one-sided, feel free to call or email me with a joke from the other side. I'll tell it, too. But first, let me remind you that it is the 6th of August, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
Now, I thought I had put that in my notes and made a note of that.
Yeah,
I guess
you got it mixed up?
That it was the 3rd of June. I got mixed up.
You got mixed up.
I'll get it next time. I'll remember. So this is one of those days. It's just it's a strange day. You know what I'm talking about? It's like some days I'm not in a bad mood at all. In fact, I'm nervous and not nervous. I'm worried because I've been in a really good mood for like 5 days in a row. I know.
No. Breaks the old record of two.
The old record was 2 days in a row, and it concerns me because I've actually been in a pretty good mood. And I think that I'm gradually changing who I am in the sense that.
What?
No. I'm trying not to.
Is it because you're eating healthier, you think?
Can I tell you something? You're sort of on it. I've lost 15 pounds in 2.5 weeks.
Wow, way to go.
And I can tell it. So I do feel better that way. But what I'm trying to force myself to do is not complain about my life, which we all do sometimes, and I'm trying to minimize that because the truth is, if you just kind of stop and go, well, yeah, that's not going well, and that's not going well, then make a list of all the things that are going well and have gone well, and that's a much bigger column. So I'm working on that, and I just feel good for too many days in a row for it to be healthy or normal for me. But here's what I'd like to do. We'd like to hear from you today. There's a lot of stuff in the news. Look, I know that they're trying to, I think it's Michael Brown's dad, he wants to reopen the case. I'm tempted to comment on it, but what is there really to say? Didn't they get a big check? Didn't his family get a great big fat check? They did, and I don't remember the amount, but I've always had the question, a check for what? No, you know what? I'm doing it.
Right.
I got to stop it right here.
Got to hold yourself
stop
back.
Stop it right here. We will tell. I do want to say this, though, about hate and violence. A listener sent me a link to a video YouTube, and it was a group of people protesting in front of Mitch McConnell's house. Isn't he the majority leader of the Senate? These people were in front of his house protesting because their claim is that he's just not doing enough, and certainly not doing enough quick enough about gun control and tighter blah 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 blah. So they're out there in front of his house. there's a woman, she's a black lady, and you can hear her talking because she has the phone. And it is the most vile, vulgar, F this, F him, F his wife, F the president. And then she says, and again, this is in protest to not doing more to curb gun violence. So her answer, and this is exactly what she says, somebody needs to stab that MF-er in the heart.
What the hell?
So, so her response to violence is, let's just stab him in the heart.
Her response to gun violence is knife violence.
Switch to a knife.
Unbelievable.
That's working out great for England right now.
And all you do, whatever side it is, when you do things like that, you just make everybody you're supposed to be speaking for looks stupid. There's a great story, real quickly, a great story several years ago. It's a true story. Somebody wrote a letter to, and I don't remember the paper. I don't know what newspaper it was. And essentially in the letter to the editorial staff, they said, I'm sick and tired, and they printed the letter. I'm sick and tired of you printing all of these stories about violence. One of the reasons there is so much violence is you fuel it and perpetuate by printing about it all the time, and if you don't stop it, it's exactly what it said, I'm going to bomb the newspaper and kill everybody in it. That, to me, is the most ridiculous. If you don't stop the violence, I'm going to kill all of you. Yes, man. Tim had his hand up. I'm calling on you like a school teacher.
I just want to answer your question. I don't really want to get into this. I just want to answer your question since you threw it out there. You asked two questions. First of all, Michael Brown's family received a $1.5 million check from the insurance company that insures the city of Ferguson to settle a wrongful death lawsuit that they filed against the city of Ferguson because Darren Wilson was a police officer there. The reason why Michael Brown's father is holding a press conference on Friday is because at the time in 2014, we had a white prosecuting attorney by the name of Bob McCulloch who presented the evidence to the grand jury, and they came back with a no true bill against Darren Wilson, the cop, for alleging that it was self-defense. Right. Bob McCulloch is no longer in office. There is now an African-American man named Wesley Bell, who is the St. Louis County prosecuting attorney, and it's clear that the people on Michael Brown Sr.'s side, on his foundation side, feel that with this change being made, that there's a chance that this investigation may be reopened. That answers your two questions.
Okay. This is quite the dilemma for Mr. Bell.
It is.
Because if he decides to reopen it, and just by doing that alone, that in itself, to a lot of people, will seem racist.
Well, he's a former city councilman in Ferguson as well. So, I mean, he has a lot of close ties to the community. I mean, that's as close as you can get. What closer tie could there be than being a city council person of the city where the incident occurred?
Okay. I'm going to, in a way, do what I did yesterday with the German chocolate cake. Step away. I took one little square inch bite.
You did? When? I didn't see
yesterday. As soon as I came
in. You did?
Oh, you did.
I don't want to hurt Nora's feelings, so I took a bite. And that was it. I stepped away. So I'm going to step away from this because I want to ask even more questions, but if I do, it'll just stir things up. So here's what I'll do. Folks, you're welcome to call. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll talk about pretty much anything you want to talk about. And there is a lot of other stuff going on in the news. Here are our numbers. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Now, one of the things I'd like to hear from somebody about is something we asked last week. And since then, you've had a weekend for more of you to go see this movie. Dan Buffa is going to be in here at 4 o'clock. And I have held back on commenting about my thoughts when I went to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. But I would still like to know if you saw it on we usually do four ARDs, four being great, what you thought. And there's a reason for this. My wife and I and one of my sons and his girlfriend and another couple, friends of ours from Kansas City, all went to see it together. And I wanted to see it only because I can't think of a movie in a long time where I have heard people say, this is the worst movie I have ever seen. And then other people say, oh my goodness, it was fantastic. It's almost nobody sort of in the middle. And so we went to see it. And all I'll tell you now is that all six of us had almost exactly the same reaction to the movie and felt almost the same exact way about it when it was over. That's all that I'll say. But I am curious to see what other people thought. So you have the numbers. Give us a call. Again, Buffa comes in at 4 o'clock. I would like to welcome to the airwaves, I believe first up was John. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Yeah, how you doing there, Mr. Pena?
Oh, it's John. Hey, we all know John. We all know. Yeah, hey, one other thing.
What's going on here?
Hey, John, you know that I got a really, really nasty complaint email about you about 2 days ago. And the guy said, yeah, he said, that John, that, and one more thing. He said, don't ever let that guy on the air again. He is irritating. And I can't stand listening to him. So good for you, John. You've done exactly what anybody in radio likes to do, and that is he's get attention.
He's now a member of the family because we've all received emails.
Yes,
like that.
Yes, we have, actually.
Oh, well,
and we survived it, and you'll survive it, too. What's going on, John?
Yeah. Hey, like, I asked a question again. You're talking about this Schlanger or Steve Mizzarini or whatever the guy is. What's the guy's county, ex-county guy?
Stanger, not Mizzarini. Steve Mizzarini. by the way, had he run, he would have won and become county. Yeah. Everybody loves Steve Mizzarini.
Yeah. Steve Stanger, but like Steve Mizzarini, Steve Stinger's about to get a new deal.
Yeah.
Right, there you go, yeah. But you were saying, like, what would you do before you go to jail? If I was Steve Schlanger, I would make sure I have a good what do you do with a pedicure, right?
A pedicure?
Pedicure?
Yeah, because I heard Bubba in prison loves pink feet, you know, so pink toes. So I think, you know,
I mean, manicure.
Hold on. In prison,
what about pedicure's toes, limey?
He's right. Hold on.
Manicure's hands.
What about pink toes? What are you talking about?
Well, there's a lot of sucking things going on in sucking sounds in prison, if you know what I mean. And
Sucking pink toes,
if you know what I mean.
Why would pink toes help you avoid?
You're not understanding him. I need to call him out here.
I'm not.
We were talking about what we would do if we had 1 week to go before we went to prison yesterday.
Right.
And this man is suggesting that Steve Stinger paint his toenails.
Why?
During this week, because in John's mind, there's a lot. Tell him, John.
Yeah, well, there's a guy named Bubba in every jail that, you know, likes makes sucking sounds with toes. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
I've never heard that it's with toes. Hold on. I've never heard that it's with toes. I've heard their sucking sounds, but I doubt that it's going to be his toes.
Well, do you remember the guy that was a couple of 10 years ago? He was getting young girls at school stops and sucking their toes, and he went to jail. Remember that?
Well, there have been several guys who were toe suckers. What? We worked with one at another station.
We did.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Hey, and the guy that complained about me, I hope he's hearing me right now because I really want to talk to him a little bit. You know, I hope he keeps me on the air because I just want to irritate more the heck out of him, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, hey, I really like your show. By the way, are you going to get more airtime out of that since that other guy's not going to be in the air anymore on this show?
What other guy? Connor? Larry Connor?
Larry?
Yeah. No. I think
3 hours is enough.
No? Oh. Oh, okay.
Well, that's 9 to 11. I'm not going to come back in here at 9 o'clock for 2 hours.
Oh, you don't want... Oh, okay. Well, I really enjoy your show. I hope you stay on the air. And thanks a lot. I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you, John.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'd really like for Dan to write his phone number down. I'd like to do some research into that guy.
Okay.
John?
Yeah. I don't normally do that, but I bet there's some interesting history to that guy.
I like John. See, here's the deal.
I wish you'd ask him questions like you asked Norman.
One more other thing.
Well, next time we could. Yeah.
We don't really know a lot about John, do we?
I'd like to know a little more about John.
Okay. Well, you should have jumped. John, call us back. Tim wants to know more about you. But see, here's my take on John. I absolutely can understand how he's irritating to some people. But, folks, here's what you need to realize. In this business, whether you're a caller or you're just on the air all the time, the only people who really make it are people who, for whatever reason, are different and stand out. And sometimes being an irritant is an advantage because people actually enjoy not liking it.
And I realize my resume is obviously already way too ridiculously long on this show, but sometimes you need a translator. And when he calls, he uses some verbiage and some sayings that I think you could use a translator on, and I'm here to help you with that.
Okay, I appreciate that. You're always there for us.
Yep.
I believe this is Mary. Mary, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hi. Good. Thank you. Thank you, guys. And I think you need to know a lot more about Mary. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, let's get to know you, Mary.
Something about Mary. Yeah.
My question was, well, you could. My question was for Tim. Did you ever find your wallet? And if you did, where did you find it?
I did find it, and it was...
I've had other people ask me that who didn't hear, and they asked, what happened to Tim's wallet? It's interesting.
It was driving me nuts,
It was in a closet in my kitchen inside of a... My sister gave me a steamer as a Christmas gift one year, and it's like got a base, and then there's like a plastic circle, and then another plastic circle, and then a lid, and you can steam things in it. And I have it in different pieces in my kitchen cabinet, and I had, and one of them I keep ant and roach trap boxes in there, and... The wallet was in that bowl in the kitchen cabinet that I never go into, and I seriously pontificated with the members of this show and members of my own family that I thought maybe I might have sleptwalked and put it in there.
I mean, look up pontificate.
Yeah, I'm going to see what that means.
What made you look there to find them?
I ran out of dogs. Because I ran out of dog. I feed my dogs hard foods, Beneful, and then I give them, they split a can of Caesar wet food every morning, and that's the closet I keep the hard dog food in. And the next morning after I'd canceled all my credit cards the night before, I went in there to get a new bag of Beneful, and it was right there in my fat face.
Oh, I'm so glad you found it. That's what it's like. That was my question. And anyway, that you still want to give a tour? I'm sorry. Sure. Anytime. I want to tour the studio.
You do?
So if you want to do that, I do.
We have tours. $300. It's a 15-minute tour, but it's worth every dollar.
Now,
you first called, you said something about we should get to know you. Can we just talk for a second? Because knowing a little more about your listeners, I think, is important, because sometimes I like to know more about who's out there. How old are you, first of all, Mary?
Well, in my head, I'm about 32. But I'm in my early 50s.
How early? How old are you?
54.
My favorite age. That is my favorite age.
Never tell you guys
that. It is early, because your next birthday you'll be mid 50.
You need to take the tour, Frank. I'm just saying.
Well, Mary, I just read a very interesting article, and the title of the article was 54, Give Me More. And it's about women at the age of 54 reach their sexual peak. Did you know that?
Well, I believe so. Okay.
So
I think you're totally right.
Let's get to know a little more about you. Do you work?
I do.
What do you do?
Well,
you have to be specific, just what kind of work?
Accounting. In the accounting department.
In the accounting department. Are you married?
I am.
You don't seem happy about it. No, you were reluctant. I'm guessing you're not really happily married. Are you?
I've been married for, I think, 32 years.
Okay, you know what? That says it all. She didn't say, I'm happy. She responded with, I've been married. So we now know you're not happily married. You're miserable in your marriage. And your work is in the accounting department. How tall are you?
I'm going to say that I'm 5'2" and a half, and I weigh about 98 pounds.
Hey. That's a nice size. That is a real nice size.
And I got one trick. One trick of mine is I can still put one leg behind my head. I'm just saying.
At one time, could you put both legs behind your head?
I could.
I'm a journalist. I have a question. When you have one leg behind your head, where's the other leg?
Behind my head. This is turning into a good segment, because we're getting a nice profile and a clear picture of who Mary is. Mary now can put one leg.
You're going to pay me to take the tour. I'm just saying.
Mary, what happened to the other leg that it can't any longer go behind your head? What happened?
You know, I'm not sure. We'll have to work on it. I'm not.
Who's we?
It doesn't matter. She's talking to me. She's talking to me, so I assume she and I are going to work on it together.
Oh. Get her other leg behind your head.
Now, do you have children?
I do.
How many? Boys, girls?
Four children. Two boys, two girls.
Okay. And do they live? They live around here?
They all live in St. Louis, yes.
Okay.
I have one daughter who's a nurse practitioner at Cardinal Glennon.
Mm-hmm.
Another nurse. And then I have a guy that drives a truck around and delivers packages.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my youngest one is in his third year at a college. Architecture school.
What is your favorite?
My brain, so
what's your favorite thing to do?
I'm trying to think. All kinds of stuff. But
put her leg up over her head.
My favorite thing to do is, well, now that might be someone else's favorite thing for me to do. But my favorite thing to do is just to sit around and talk and have good conversation. I like, you know, that would be about it.
Okay. Are you...
in a party-type atmosphere.
In a party-type atmosphere. Well, you sound fun to me, and you sound like exactly the kind of person that we'd like to have listening. So this was good good that we got to know you.
I've been listening to you for a very, very, very long time.
How long?
Oh, God, at least 25 years or so.
That would be possible. I've been doing it longer than that.
Yeah.
Well, Mary, I'm glad you're out there. We're glad you've been out there for 25 years, and don't leave us. Stay with us, okay?
I won't. I'm glad you found your wallet, Tim.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
All right, you guys take care. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, now that we've sort of given you folks an example of, you know, our interrogation goes, if you'd like to call, if you don't mind us getting a quick snapshot of, you know, who you are and what you're all about, that'd be great. We'd like to hear from some more people. Because I don't know if you guys ever think about it, and I rarely do. But right now I am, and something I don't do often is like, who's out there?
Oh,
you
right.
Think about who is
like
really
who are we actually talking to right
there.
Now?
Yeah, because I always think of it as one or two people. Maybe that's it. Maybe there are only one or two people listening. I do. I think I'm talking to like one person.
Mary
but
and
I know
John.
But I know that's not true.
Right.
And I find it very interesting. As long as they're leveling with us and telling us the truth, to just kind of get a little profile. And here's the interesting thing about this show, and it's always been interesting about this show. If we keep doing this, we're going to find out that one caller is 54 and another one is 24 and another one is 84 and everything in between. And somebody's a laborer and somebody owns a business and it's all over the place. And the reason it's all over the place is because I would think this show would be something that people would want to listen to no matter how old they are, how young they are, how big they are, whether they're blue collar, white collar, whatever, simply because I think most people just like to, as she said, just sit around and shoot the bull. That's all this
shoot
is.
Shoot the bull, haven't it done?
You want to shoot the breeze, BS, whatever you want to call it. Can we talk to, let me see who's been holding longest, Brian. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hi. Hey, Frank, how you doing? I'm AM and PM.
Thank you, Brian. What's up?
Hey, you're all talking about different foods from different states, you know, if you were familiar with them or not.
Right.
And it made me thought of a funny story. At my workplace, we had a woman, she was, you know, real attractive, and she came to work there. She was a dispatcher, and, we, you know, it's all guys there, mainly work there. And so, you know, you got to go along with it just being a bunch of guys. Well, she was from New Orleans. And one of the guys come in there, and they were talking about Cajun food and that, and all of a sudden he asked her, and she says, well, Siri, do you like sucking head?
I think that's a reference to crawfish,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, all the other women in the office, their jaws just drop to the desk. They're like, I can't believe you asked that. And she goes, what? What's wrong with that? I'd like it.
and she didn't even know you're talking about crawfish. That's the good news.
Right.
I think that's hilarious. Wow. And here's the problem. One of the problems we have today is, Brian, you could very possibly have been disciplined for asking her that some places. You could work some places. They would call you in. I'm serious. And say, you cannot ask a woman if she likes sucking head. You can't do that. But obviously you work in a place where you can do it, and good for you. I've always said I could never work, and thank goodness I've never had to work for a place where people can't kid each other, use sexual innuendos, men to women. I would quit. I'd have to. And I'm so glad I've always been places where we're kind of all like-minded, and nobody really takes offense at things that are just men and fun. So, sucking right. head. I've never known until now what you call the way you eat, but that is what you do. You suck the meat out of the heads of the crawfish.
Right, and that's what's so fun about it, because you have to be thick-skinned to be around there, and nobody takes offense to it, nobody gets offended. We all just have a good time, razzing each other, and it makes it for a great place to be.
What do you do for a living?
Heating and cooling.
Yeah. Are you married?
Yes.
Kids?
Yes.
How tall are you?
Two.
How tall are you?
5'8".
How much do you weigh?
165.
Wow, you're a nice trim. I'm just getting
easy.
Sorry, getting a little profile, a little snapshot
here. How many legs can you put behind
now? What part of town do you live? Can you put your legs behind your head? No, I don't know that. What part of town do you live in?
I live out in Wentzville.
Okay. Well, you know what? Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Now we've got another profile who's out there listening.
Did you ask him his age?
How old are you?
59.
Favorite age.
59. No, Dan. No. Oh. That's for women. That's for women.
Oh, okay.
Do you have any questions for us?
No, I just wanted to, not off the top of my head, but I just wanted to tell you my story. I thought it was going to, might be a little funny,
I like it. I would not advise everybody listening to go up to a woman at work and go, hey, do you like sucking head? I wouldn't do that unless you work where Brian works. Thank you, Brian.
Unless you got a crawfish in your hand.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you, Brian.
Oh, man.
I never got that, the crawfish. Let me tell you,
we could do 3 hours one day on taking calls from people, and it would probably, and in fact, almost all the calls would be men.
True.
Who has said something at work, jokingly, that you would say to a lot of other coworkers that got you in some deep doo-doo. And unfortunately, it happens to a lot of, again, usually men. Tom, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
How you doing there, Frank?
Great, Tom. What's up?
Hey, not much there, buddy. I just wanted to call in and say I had a couple of times where there happened to me when I was working there, and a girl walked by me, and she about knocked me over with a caboose. You know what I'm saying there, buddy?
Mm-hmm,
next
mm-hmm.
thing you know, I looked back at her, and I was like, yeah, you got a nice sack of ham there.
Oh, no, you can't. Like, you can't do that
nice
these days,
sack of ham.
I don't think. What happened?
This was back there. The way she goes, what did you say to me? And I said, you got a nice backside there, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she didn't like that either.
But she didn't mind it.
No, she didn't.
Because you meant it as a compliment.
Well, I did this, buddy. I'd mount that thing in a second.
Wow. I hope you didn't say that.
Bring some chalk and a walking stick.
Tom, what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm retired. I work for Lance. Day. I deliver tater chips for about 33 years there, buddy, out here in Virginia there. And,
delivered potato chips?
Where are you in Virginia?
Potato chips?
Smithfield, Virginia there, a home of the meatpacking plants, and that's where your Smithfield bacon comes from there, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. Do you still live there?
I'll be darned.
Yeah, I'm still here now.
Yeah? And wow. Are you married?
Yeah, married. Got a nice wife and, been happy and, we can't can just, her and I never had any kids and nothing like that there, buddy. And, as far as I'm living a pretty good life, 67 years old.
How long you been married?
Oh, let's see here. 33 years, I believe.
Well, wow. Guess what? You just said that it was 25 years ago when you told the woman at work you get a nice set of hams there. So you were married when you told the coworker you liked their hams, their big butt.
Set of hams.
Yeah. That's okay, though. There's nothing wrong with that. A married man can say to a woman, hey, you got some nice whatever. It's not a sin. Nothing wrong with that. It's compliment.
Compliment. I like the way she looked. I mean, you had the hourglass figure and all that there, and,
easy now. Easy. You're getting excited just talking about it. And you have kids?
No, he said no.
Oh, no, that's right. No. He said no kids. All right. Well, thanks for checking in, Tom. We appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I enjoy your show time, AMNCN.
Thank you, Tom. Tom, all the way from Virginia.
Wouldn't it be funny? Not funny, but wouldn't it just for once? With the whole Me Too movement being what it is, and you can't even hardly hit on a woman these days without being accused of sexual harassment. We've talked about this a lot on the show. Wouldn't it be funny one time to just walk up to a really, really good-looking woman that you work with and say, you know something? I wouldn't kiss you if you were the last woman on earth.
Well,
much trouble,
what would you be violating if you said that?
Well, that would be the equivalent of going up to her and going, that's man, you are butt ugly. I don't think... that would fly. It's the opposite.
If my choices were to only have sex with you or never have sex again, I'd never have sex again.
Yeah, that I'm afraid.
What would that be? Would that be?
I don't know.
Would that be violating something?
Her attorney would figure out.
What would it be?
Yeah,
anti-sexual harassment.
I don't know.
Psychological abuse.
I don't know.
Just being rude.
Hey, how would you like to never have a drink with me? Now, see, that would that's mm-hmm. not sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting question.
How'd you like to give me every phone number except yours?
Yeah. Hey, after work, I'm going to ask you for your number. Would you please give me a fake one? Because I'm never really going to call you. Yeah, what would she go to the boss with? What's her...
It's her general harassment, I think. Yeah. I think that might qualify as general harassment.
Bill is next. Don't do the Bill thing.
I know.
Yeah, your butt's not the biggest I've ever seen.
But it's... and then you stop there.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah. Bill, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Fantastic, and AM in the PM.
Well, that would explain why you're fantastic. What can we do for you?
I've just got some assorted comments that, from what I've heard from you over the last few days, and I was not able to make them at the time.
All right, the floor is yours. Go right ahead.
All right. One, when you were talking the other day about convents... convicts that were going to be put to death about them using a diaper.
Right.
From my understanding, they actually use a butt plug for that issue.
No.
Are you serious?
Yes, sir.
Well, that would make sense. No, well, that makes sense to me. Well, you avoid a lot of mess.
Yeah, but when you die, like, you know, your sphincter relaxes, so what's going to keep the butt plug in?
No,
unless they use a pretty big butt plug.
Well, without getting, you know, too graphic, I'm sure it's ample. I mean, well, it is.
Ample size. But
how do you know that, Bill?
And when do you put it in, before or after your last meal?
I don't know the answer to that. How do you know this, Bill?
You put it in prior to the, actually, with lethal injection is where I heard it. And I just picked it up from some weird trivia stuff I listened to.
I believe that. That doesn't sound, that's plausible. That they would do that.
Okay.
All right, what else do you have?
Next, when you were talking about the last meal, what I would try to choose would be some type of rare meal that's out of season, and you have to wait for it to be in season, which could be months and months, and, of course, the longest one that it would take to prepare.
Okay, that they won't do, and I actually did read an article on that, because there have been people who tried to say, excuse me, I want something that you've got to fly to Japan again, and they're within reason you can have whatever you want, but, yeah, there are limitations that they won't do that.
Okay.
In other words, it has to be something that is attainable before the time you're going to, you know, be put away.
According to the protocol of an execution website that I'm looking at, they are not installed in a person's body prior to lethal injection.
Bill, you got fake news.
They're only given a sedative.
I figured that was
somebody
BS.
Gave you wrong information there, Bill.
Yeah, so much for Trump. Anyway, I should have said however. Talking about some foods and stuff that you didn't like to eat a few days ago, boiled peanuts.
Yes.
Actually, I'm from the South, and I really do enjoy them.
Okay, somebody must. They sell a lot of them. Somebody must.
The other thing is pickled pig's feet.
No, thank you. I'll pass on that, but that is a big, also a big seller in the South.
I've seen those in the grocery store.
And you're right. You can buy them here. You can buy them here.
Oh, yes.
And it looks like a science experiment. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Two other things.
All right.
One thing I did hear that in, I think it was California, certain cities there, if you get caught, since marijuana is legal, if you get caught discarding a lit marijuana cigarette onto a public paved street in the corporate city limits of these towns, they are going to triple a possession fine.
I did I didn't know that.
What? Yeah. Ripple of possession. Yeah, they said it's creating way too many potholes.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, see, he made a joke. No rim shot.
No rim shot.
No rim shot.
Okay. And the only other thing I would like to mention about the young gentleman you have working from England, Limey.
Yes, Limey's for you.
Hey, Bill.
I really enjoy listening to him. However,
and there's always a however in life.
Yes, the one thing I believe that does not make him fit in quite so well with the rest of your crowd.
He's not fat.
I think he has a I think he has a rather high IQ.
that's a dig. Yeah, that's a dig at us.
That's a dig at us.
Thank you, Bill.
It is. The sad news is, sad news is, we agree with you.
Yeah. So.
Other than that, I've been listening. Frank, I've been listening to your show since I moved here in 91, and it's one of the brighter points of my day.
Thank you. Now, I want to ask you a couple of questions. What part of town do you live in?
I live in South St. Louis,
and
unfortunately.
What do you do for a living?
I deliver drugs, or I deliver pharmaceuticals.
Well, my daughter is a pharmaceutical rep, so you're not a rep. You just deliver them after the orders are placed.
Oh, hey, hold on, Frank, before you ask another question. Hang on a second. We have to do this.
Getting to know you.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Getting to Know You segment of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. We're getting to know Bill right now from South County, and Bill delivers pharmaceuticals. So now back to Bill. Bill, are you married?
Yes. We've been together about 27 years, and we've never really had a big argument or a fight.
Well, then your marriage is not going to last. How long? How long have you been together? 27. How long have you actually been married?
We got married New Year's Eve 1996 at 10:10 p.m.
Okay,
New Year's Eve.
I know you've made it. What?
Hold dying on. Question.
What?
But Bill, if you were like on a bet, you say you've been married 27 years, you've never had a fight or argument, but on a bet. If you were to make a bet for $100 that you could start a fight with your wife, what would you try and start a fight with her about?
Oh, man.
I have no idea.
That's amazing.
I think it would be very difficult.
That's
now, we
amazing.
Don't always agree, but we do talk it out. And there's two tricks to having
she's
a
alive,
good
right?
marriage. One, yes. One, she's always right, and two, she's a lady, and I'm a good cook, and she does not talk with her mouth full.
Well, my wife doesn't talk with her mouth full either, and she doesn't cook, so you can figure that one out.
I knew you were going there. I knew you were going
there. Now, Bill, I'm assuming you're not kidding when you say that you've been together 27 years and you never argue. I'm assuming you actually you're telling the truth.
We never had a fight. I mean, we don't necessarily agree, but we've never had a fight, screaming, yelling, any of that stuff like all the other kids.
Okay, that is not a healthy marriage.
No.
That is not a good, solid marriage, and you will be divorced. I'm telling you, you go home tonight and start arguing because I'm trying to save your marriage. That's not going to last. I know it's lasted a long time, and it's fooled you into thinking, oh, you're going to be married. No. You know what? Deep down, she's wishing, man, I wish my husband every once in a while would just really tear me apart about something and just really lay into me and get it. And he just won't. That's what she's hoping. So.
I don't know that every other relationship would be like yours and your wife's because
right.
you guys are like.
We argue all the time.
You guys are like the Bickersons.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
And look at that, 48 years.
Yeah.
See? It works. So
yeah, and I admit, with me, it's highly unusual. Now, there is an age difference. I'm 60, and she's 72 now. But
hold on, are you kidding? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding?
Older woman, I can respect
that.
No, sir.
She is 72.
Yes, sir. My first wife, if she was still living, she had cancer. She passed away in 89. She was 14 years older.
Wow,
he likes the older women. Well, there's something to be said for that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, older. There's a country song, "Older Women Make Beautiful Lovers." That's an actual song.
More experience.
Bill, do you have any kids?
And not that I know of.
Not that you know. All right, Bill. Well, thank you. It was nice. Get theme music, please, Dan.
Okay.
It was nice getting to know you, Bill.
Getting to know you.
All right, thank you, Bill. There goes Bill.
I guess Bill.
You're listening to the Getting to Know You segment. If you'd like for us to get to know you, then all you have to do is call 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590.
Does anybody on this show know any male in their entire life who's been married to a woman 10 years older than them?
Yes, I have.
Do you?
Yes.
I'm old for life on that one.
My stepdad, who is now dead.
But I only know one.
Okay.
Now, they weren't married, but they lived together for 20 years. They were basically
counts.
Married. They lived together 20 years, and she was, I think, about 14 years older.
Wow.
And they were happy as they could be.
It's great.
Well, actually, I know a girl that's 9 years older than her current boyfriend.
Yeah,
they've been together for like 7 years.
But see, the
years.
Thing is, that really is the way it ought to be, because the guys always die first. And look at all the widows. You know, well, you know, he died, she's still around for 8 or 10 years, so you probably should marry a woman 10 years older. And so that you both croak at the same time.
My mom was like that with, I had a stepdad that was about 10 years younger, 10 or 11 years younger than she was.
See? Unheard of in my world.
I've only known one.
Would you like to finally know what pontificate means?
Well, I was kidding. I know what it means.
Oh, okay.
I was kidding because it seemed like kind of a big word.
But the last caller thought Limey had the highest IQ on the show, and I think he's the only one that didn't know what it means.
That says something.
Right there.
Who wants a bonus joke?
I do.
I do, and I'm telling it. So, Janet, thank you for sending me this joke, by the way. Janet every once in a while sends jokes, and about maybe two people won't like it because it has a little politics in it. So here's the joke. There's a CNN reporter, and he's in town doing some reporting because he's CNN, and it's a local, very popular tavern, bar, and there are quite a few people. It's like 30 people. It's busy, and he sees a guy at the end of the bar standing there wearing a Make America Great hat, you know, the red hat.
Mm-hmm.
So the CNN reporter shouts to the bartender. He said, "Hey, I want to buy a drink for everyone in this bar except the a-hole with the Make America Great Again hat. Not for him, but everybody else." And the bartender says, "Well, there are at least 30. That's going to cost." He said, "I don't care what it costs. Drink for everybody except you." And he points to the guy in the Make America Great. And so he serves everybody a drink except the guy with the Make America Great hat. And the guy with the Make America Great hat looks over to him, tips his hat, and says, "Thank you. Thank you so much." Now, that actually makes the CNN reporter mad. So he said, "Barkeep, two more drinks for every, I don't care what they want, champagne, anything they want, two of them for everybody in here, except the D-bag wearing the Make America Great hat, not for him." So the bartender serves everybody two more drinks, but not the guy with the Make America Great hat. And the guy with the Make America Great hat tips it and says loudly to the guy, CNN reporter says, "Thank you so much." Now, the CNN reporter is actually mad. And he says to the bartender, he says, "What an idiot." He says, "Look at the jerk. I buy drinks for everybody with him, and he thanks me. What's that all about?" The bartender says, "He owns the place." Is that a great joke? All right. Here's what's on tap for later today. After the news at 4 o'clock, Dan Buffel will be here. And I've only been to one movie. I did watch a movie that I'll talk to him about on demand called The Mustang. You might know what that's about. It's a fairly recent movie.
No.
It's a true story. There's a prison program. First of all, let me tell you that there are round numbers 100,000 wild Mustang horses in this country. They're primarily in Montana, Wyoming, some in Kansas, but 100,000 wild horses. And a couple of prisons have a program where the inmates actually break, meaning ride them like a bronco in a rodeo, break the horses, train the horses so that they are rideable and gentle, and then they auction them off to people like Border Patrol agents for the government. And so it's a true story. And it's a really interesting movie. It's not action-packed. It can be a little slow, but the fact that it's true. And then at the end, they show you the real pictures of the actual prisoners and their horses. And some of the people they use in the movie are inmates at the prison. It's really very, very, it's called The Mustang. So we'll talk about that. And then I will share with him what I thought about the DiCaprio Brad Pitt movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The other thing that we will, let me just mention somebody, Limey played earlier the Andy Griffith theme. You know, everybody knows that theme.
Right.
And one of the strange things that's happened over the years on this show is that for many, many years, Dan Strauss did the finest Don Knotts impression I've ever heard. Now, I think most people know, I don't care how old or young you are, that Don Knotts was Barney Fife. He was Andy's deputy. And there are a few impressions that Dan has done over the years where he nailed it. I mean, and we have no idea why, but all of a sudden, one day, I said, well, we spoke with Don Knotts, and Dan could not do it and has never again been able to do Don Knotts.
I can't do it. I can't get up like that. I can't do this.
No, that's not even close.
No.
You used to sound just like him.
And you know what?
It's a great mystery.
And I think some of it may have to do with allergies, because I've acquired allergies over the past few years.
No, because it doesn't matter what time for the last 3 years, no matter when we mention it, you cannot do Don Knotts.
Oh, no, I have allergies through the year.
So you have allergies all the time.
All the time. My falsetto singing voice, too. Falsetto. Yeah. Hmm.
No more Frankie Valli.
No more Frankie Valli or anything like that. So that was in the falsetto part of my...
It's too bad, because you did do a great Don Knotts.
And he was the president or the head of the Mid-America Airport, remember?
Oh, that's right. That was one of our bits that we can't do anymore, because you can't do Don Knotts. And to the guy who mentioned, I think it was John who mentioned Steve Mizzarini. Well, Limey, you don't know who that was.
I have
was.
No idea who you're talking about.
Well, let me tell you, at one time in this town, there were two or three people who became locally very famous for their ridiculous TV commercials. The Slimen brothers, they had them sitting on the arch swinging their legs. And that was so ridiculous. Becky Queen of Carpets was ridiculous.
Oh, I love that one, though. Yeah. I remember that one.
Uncle Leonard.
Oh, my goodness, Uncle Leonard.
The Magic Carpet.
Oh, Uncle Leonard, yeah.
Yeah.
And being produced like you old Uncle Leonard here. And then, I had another one I was going to throw in that group. Don Plackey was a car dealer. And he used to break the windows out of cars on his TV commercials. He'd go, here's a pre-owned used car, and it's $14.99. Make that $12.99. It needs a new windshield. No, it was so ridiculous. Everybody knew who they were. And for some reason, we're missing that. We don't have anybody who's that character. Like, you know what we're talking about? We have some bad commercials, but they're not bad in a good way or a unique way. They're just bad. These were bad, and so bad they were great. Because the only commercials people remember are the really, really brilliant ones and the horrible ones.
This started with your rendition to Limey of who Steve Mizrani was. You never fulfilled. You never.
He was an appliance dealer.
You never explained to him how ridiculous he was.
And he did his commercial on roller skates, and he couldn't skate. So he'd have to hang on to the washing machines or he'd fall down. And they were like one take and done, and if there were mistakes, it didn't matter. They were absolutely horrible. And great.
And Joe Ferret always had the gout.
Yeah, me and Joe Ferret, yeah. We got to do some business, and then it's time after the news for Dan. But memory is Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. This will be, I don't know how long we're going to be doing this, but I'd like to think for as long as we do it, Johnny Londoff Chevrolet will be a partner, and that's the way I think about it, a business partner for this show. It's been, I think we decided 15 years going on 16. And I'd like to think, if I'm doing it 15 more, I doubt that, but if I were, I hope he's right there with me. If he's retired, then one of the Londoff boys. It's been a great partnership, and I'd like to see it continue. That's only going to happen if you folks continue to give them a shot at your new Chevy business or your pre-owned car business. And that you always let them know your AM and the PM. You keep doing that, and we'll keep riding this horse for quite a while, I hope. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet will never ask you to do anything that we don't think you'll thank us for. And this is a great example. Even people who cannot stand the car buying process find that Johnny Londoff Chevrolet is the exception. At the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County. And, of course, you can start the shopping anytime, 24 24/7, as they say, 365 days a year at Londoff.com. News, and then Dan Buffa will talk about movies and TV shows. It's 4 o'clock, 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Federal investigators now consider the deadly mass shooting at the Gilroy, California Garlic Festival a case of domestic terrorism. FBI Special Agent in Charge John Bennett says authorities are working to find out more about the suspect.
We have not made a final investigative conclusion into the motive of the shooter. However, we have uncovered evidence throughout the course of our